The Where's My 40 Acres podcast is recorded in front of a Ratchet Studio audience.
Wow.
Shout out to Phenom Black, this music lover, Twan Burgundy, Silent Ace Media, man. Mindset of a young nigga with idle time. They say a devil's workshop is an idle mind. It's hip hop infiltrated by a wicked built industry. And me, I'm representing for the underground. Independence, Fifth Amendment, freedom of speech, the revolution is pending. But it's cool cause you see we on a mission. Television off, this a viral petition. Man, and I hope you pay attention. The WM48, we keep it real.
Like, they found tweets from 2010 saying that R. Kelly, he said R. Kelly has the best celebrity sex tape of all time.
Yep. He does.
Like, you're making jokes like that saying R. Kelly's thinking Barack's daughter can get it. Like, R. Kelly looks 20-something. The Fountain of Youth clearly can be found within teenage vagina. These are the jokes that you're making.
These are the things he was saying. For real.
Yes, those are real tweets.
This is on his Twitter. Wow. This is what he tweeted on his Twitter in 2010. But you are up there trying to act all holier than thou, talking about how R. Kelly is this and R. Kelly is that. And it's like, weren't you accused of rape? Like,
aren't you just Charlemagne, just a piece of trash?
We got to act like everybody is. It was either that or like domestic violence. He was like, everybody's been in
domestic violence. Yeah, no. Domestic violence. He said every man has hit a woman, and he also was charged with rape at one point. Yes.
But hey, Mike, Brandon, y'all ever hit a woman?
No.
All right, cool.
Have never hit a picture of a woman. I don't like hitting women in video games. Sometimes I just make my character walk off the edge if I got to fight a woman in Soul Calibur. I just like, nope.
Nigga, I be doing it too. They be like, you want to kill this person or you want to let them go? I like, y'all.
Man, please let her live. There's so many women in this world that don't get to live. Please let this one live. It's not even a real woman.
I can't hate it, man. Like, I was born to fear women. That was starting from my mama.
when they do random and they give me nightmare and this versus Taki, I just walk my big ass sword off the edge. Like, I'm like, no, I'm not gonna smack her with this weapon.
I don't know any guys that I'm not gonna say I'm not knowing any guys that's ever done that. But the ones that I'm close with, the ones that I consider friends, the ones that I've had long term relationships, they don't do that.
No, we knew one. No. OJ. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, we knew one. OJ did that shit. And
you know what's funny? Not funny, like in haha, but poor just in words. A thing. I remember when he hit that girl on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
With all of us sitting there.
Because we weren't. I wasn't on the bus. That's the thing.
Oh no, I was on the bus. I was shocked.
I heard a pop and a and then I was like, what happened? And y'all was like, OJ turned around and hit so and so, and I was like, "I'm sorry."
His name is OJ.
Yeah.
I was like,
and I looked at OJ, and I was like, "Dude, what are you doing?" Like, because I even said, "I was like, dude, what are you doing? What's wrong with you?" All right? But I'm gonna be real. It ain't going no further than that because I was scared of that nigga. I'm gonna be real.
Like, no, we all were. We all because we knew he had a gun.
Was scared of that nigga.
No, we knew like, OJ was like real about doing certain shit, and when he punched that girl in the face. That's how real we knew he was.
Like, I ain't about like, doing this shit. This is what we were 14, 15.
You're like 14 or 15. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is young us. I'm not happy about it. I'm not proud of it. You know what I mean? I wish I could have sat there and did better at that time. Now it ain't like I saw it happen. Like again, we just turned around. We were all getting off the bus, and next thing we heard pop pop. We were like, what, why did you do that? Like, you know what I mean? Because we were like, y'all don't do that. And we all was like, you was wrong. We all looked at him like, you was wrong. But we didn't push it no further than that.
Nah.
Because he looked at you and was like.
Well, actually, this was the other thing that made it weird, right? He actually went over there. I think we went with him. And he apologized to her. And then they started, like, messing around. I don't know if it got sexual, but I know that they was, like, interested in each other after that. And that, when you're young and you see shit like that, it, like, even as a dude, you're already being fed all this bullshit about how girls run game and they trying to trick you into doing this and they trying to rope you in and you can't never be tied down, get as much pussy as possible, shit like that from just dumb older niggas, dumb older uncles who you ain't never seen with an auntie, shit like that. And I mean, I want to make this clear. It's always a nigga telling you about getting pussy that ain't had pussy in forever. And or changing auntie, forever changing auntie, because they get tired of putting up with his ass and putting him up in their place. But
auntie rotations.
Yes. Instead of rolling stone, you got a rolling uncle. You see that, and as a child, you're like, well, I guess if she cool with it, then it ain't that bad. Cause you dumb and you 14, right? You don't know no fucking better. You watching this shit, and you like, I guess so. But like, here's what I'm gonna hit you, Twan. I'm gonna hit you hard with this one. We had the same mentality to a degree in college, because there was niggas that we knew girls shouldn't be around. Like, we would tell, don't hang around him. Don't hang around that person.
Yeah.
And but we would not like hang, like go places with them. But like, if we saw them and they dapped us up or was like, what's up? Yeah. You would acknowledge it. But you would then go back and tell your friend, hey, don't hang around that nigga by yourself.
Yeah. Bro. And I think more men need to be honest about that. That like guys like to be like, okay, I can sit here now and say at 33, about to be 34, that I don't tolerate that. I don't have that in my life. I don't have anything like that. But that took time for me to get here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, did I ever put my hands on girls and put have people around me that put, you know, that were close to me that put hands on or thought about that or saw it in my family? No, I did not. I was against that. But like you said, we weren't out there just putting those walls up on niggas and being like, nah, I'm not fucking with you at all. I'm not talking to you because I know the type of person you are. We thought, and man, and we were doing something. I would say we weren't doing anything. We were doing something. Yeah. But we thought, hey, by me looking at you and being like, don't go with him.
That was enough. Or
we had a party and I'm like, nah, y'all, I'm gonna stay here with y'all. You know what I mean? Like at that time, that's what we thought was the best that we could do. And now we can look back at it and say, all right, we could have did more, or we could have really not played in that. And the only thing I could look at is looking at kids younger than me and telling them, hey, this is what I did. So maybe you can make a better decision at a younger age. Or, you know, if I, you know, in the future I have a son, I could be like, nah, don't, you know, this is what I did. And it's not, and these decisions aren't always going to be easy and right in front of your face. You know, it's not going to be like this easy, real yes, no type of situation. You're going to get hit with some nuance. You're going to get hit with people you hang out with, and then they're going to do something. You're going to be caught, and now you got a decision to make. You know what I mean? Which side do you go? You know what I mean? But like, more men need to have that conversation. Need to talk about that shit. Need to talk about the shit that happened to them, or to talk about the shit that they've seen, or the shit that they let go, so we can really have some real conversation with, because women been having that conversation. It's not up to them no more. It's up to us now to start doing this and changing this and challenging each other. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the only real way forward. Cause if you don't take an active role in this shit, then it's not going to change at the speed that it needs to change, you know, which is yesterday.
But if you don't take an active role in this, what's your role really? That's how you need to look at that too. What's your role really?
Exactly.
You cool with it then, right? You be like, nah, I ain't cool with it. But you ain't acting on it like you're not cool with it.
Vision, if you will.
Yeah. Like, it's at a certain point, if you want to define your character as a person, as a man, or, you know, if you're using that terminology, you got to do shit to define that. You can't just keep talking and telling people that's who you is, because that ain't what you showing people. It ain't that hard. Like, people have particular expectations and perceptions of me that I don't necessarily say out of my mouth, but that's the shit that I exude. Like, that's what they get from my personality when they're around me. That's what I present. I don't walk around, you know, going, man, I'm just an asshole and I'm just a goofy Negro and I say funny shit sometimes, but don't actually be doing none of that shit. Like, if you're trying to be portrayed as something, or you're trying to live up to something, like, then you got to actually be doing that shit. If you out here and there's a whole bunch of niggas out here talking about I'm a nice guy, but no, you're not.
No, no, you're not.
Because ain't nothing you do nice.
Yeah, and being a nice guy doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means you.
I'm far from perfect.
Like, you look at it and you can look at your faults and you can look at the stuff that you did wrong. You'll be like, man, dang, that was wrong. I shouldn't have did that.
Honestly, I don't even call myself a nice guy.
Because just because you say you're a nice person doesn't mean you're nice to everybody. You can be nice to particular people, you know, that may, you know, suit your fancy or you can get a gain from. But just overall, general, you could be a shitty ass person.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just weird, man. Like, I need to see, like that's what I was glad to see, you know, when that jump that somebody put in the group, when Neo was out there jumping on stuff, and it was like, no, don't do that, man. Don't be a bandwagon person, especially with you around. You know what I mean? Like, we all said from a certain age and up, you were there.
Yep.
Yeah.
You were at a prime age of knowing what that stuff was. So, yeah, you come around with it. So the easiest thing for you to do is to speak on it, like, accurately. Like, now, if Neo had came out there and said, there's no excuse for what he did. There's no excuse for all the stuff that's going on. And now looking back on it, I look at it like there was a mistake for me to sit out there and go on tour with him and do that stuff. Because I wasn't even thinking about that because the trial was in the background. But again, I had that privilege of, again, I wasn't the one he was coming after. I wasn't the one he was going to there. So I had the privilege of not thinking about it. But that was wrong. And I can look back on it and see if it's wrong. You say some shit like that, man, people will be like, all right, I understand. And that might actually open some actual conversation.
You got to start it like that,
With people being real.
That boy ain't started
he started just like, I'm jumping on the bandwagon. Like, yeah, because it's easy. Like, when the whole tide turns, it's easy
to flip sides.
To jump on it. You know what I mean? And when everybody turns and everybody's all like, oh, yeah, now we hate this, it's easy for you to jump up there and be like, yep, like, and then that lets me know, like, what you say, I don't think what you were saying was coming from a real honest place.
It's not like, okay, like, Omarion and them came out, and they supposed to be doing they raggedy-ass B2K tour that a bunch of women our age are going to be going to. Because it's raggedy. Because you know it's
going to be raggedy. He's going to, no, because first of all, Omarion ain't fucking them coins up, because R. Kelly done wrote all the big hits for them. Mm-hmm. So that's why he was like, after
the tour, we not gonna say these songs.
I ain't gonna say no more.
So,
what songs they gonna have then?
Exactly, Twan. They not touring no more after that, right? Because they don't have no songs to say. They like after.
That's why they're gonna cancel him after the tour. Girlfriend, bump, all the big hits from them. Because I mean, B2K. Which, you know, it's so funny to me because I was like, they had what, like two albums? They weren't like prevalent for that fucking long.
They weren't, but a lot of people chased
them to have some reunion tour and these girls falling out and screaming and figuring out what shows to buy. Like, oh, okay.
But like that nostalgia circuit, just like our parents used to take us to go see Cameo and Lakeside and all those people, exactly. You know what I mean?
Got a whole world tour this year coming up.
Yeah.
All my friends.
But it's Cameo.
Yeah, I got a question.
B2K.
They're a band.
I got a question, though.
They're a full-ass band.
So how far does it go?
Does work.
What do you mean? I know we all agree, like, R. Kelly's done. We've all held that.
Here comes the spiderweb question. 6 degrees of R. Kelly.
Now, are we throwing out all music he's written? I want to answer a question. This song was heavy in my rotation, but now that I know what You Are Not Alone was kind of written about, I can't do it.
Not Alone.
It makes me think of it, but there's a lot of songs.
Like my favorite Michael Jackson song, so I'm okay with it.
But R. Kelly wrote a lot of songs, so
he wrote Fortunate. Y'all don't get it.
Like establish, so but you got
like my wedding song.
I'm being honest. Like,
you have
to
establish it. You have to establish a particular ground here, though, too. Like, when you say that, when you're looking at songs, right? Yes, he wrote them, and even some of the ones he sang. I'm giving some people a lot of fucking rope right now. even some of the ones he sang, right? There's part of it that, yes, he owns that song. That is his song. But being emotional fucking human beings, there is also a part of us that personalizes and owns our first listening of that song in those moments where we heard it. So it makes it a little more difficult to be like, can you let a piece of your history and your past go, a song go like that? I ain't telling, like, buying tickets and going to his fucking trial, defending him and making arguments with people online, to me, that's a whole nother degree.
Yeah, that's different. That's different.
You're not apologetic, and you actually don't think what he... I feel like if you're buying tickets to go to his shows, if you're financially supporting him in that way now, then you don't actually feel like he did anything wrong and you are part of the fucking problem. But if you have an R. Kelly album, or you have Michael Jackson's All Alone on a single sitting in your house on vinyl, and your favorite thing to do on Sundays is to listen to that song, then I'm not telling you to give that up. I don't think that's a realistic thing to ask of people who weren't direct victims of R. Kelly. They'll never be able to hate that man as much as other people who he victimized have been able to hate him. But that doesn't mean that they don't empathize with the fucking victims. And that also doesn't mean that you can't go on from this point not supporting him financially and shit. And there's gonna be people that don't agree with what I'm saying. There's people that's gonna be like, everything he did.
I agree with that, because I mean, if you just like what we brought up earlier, if you talk about him, you're gonna say, well, okay, well, let's take it a step further, because there are more ancient niggas that have been writing and producing, and
James, just
like,
Dre,
you know, the same Marvin. Ones, like, they keep talking about Omarion. I mean, Chris Stokes is a piece of shit too, but mm-hmm. y'all going to these B2K concerts and filling up his pockets. Mm-hmm. You know, even like you said, you taking it back to even, like, you know, earlier times where the Marvin Gaye's, the James Browns, you know, the Jackie Browns, like, it's a whole bunch of people that just ain't worth shit. But, you know, you listen to them, even if it's in a capacity, even if it's a sample, or just you might just got them on vinyl and now you're enjoying like earlier music, or you might have that, you know, memory, like, you know, you brought up of maybe this was something that, you know, you rode out to with your dad, or, you know, with your parents, or, you know, family reunion or what have you not. So us, you know.
They released a story earlier this week about Prince, that Prince had taken in a girl and basically groomed her from 16 until she was old enough for him to marry her.
Oh yeah, he was great. He groomed all his gals.
Y'all letting Prince go? Like, are y'all giving y'all Prince music back?
All his gals. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, are y'all like, what's your limit?
He did.
What's your limit? Like, are y'all letting these niggas go? Because I don't think it's realistic to ask y'all to be absolute in these decisions. You know, in like, we letting them, everybody can go. Like, I keep seeing that meme. They can go. They all can go too. That's a lot of people going, and that's a lot of people's memories, and that's a lot of people's attachment, and that's a lot of things that made you happy, that still make you happy today. Those are parts of you that are leaving because you were able to personalize that stuff. So that's a difficult question to ask, right? Because there was an article that just linked a bunch of people. They linked Kendrick Lamar and Top Dog and TDE to the whole Spotify dropping R. Kelly's music, and Top Dog being like, if you do that, we pulling Kendrick's music. Like, that is that support? Are you now not fucking with Kendrick? Like, what's the degree? Because that's TDE.
I remember when that happened, because I remember even Top Dog was like, look, I just don't want them censoring, because they were only censoring black people.
Which is what I got from it. I saw what he was coming from.
I'm
going
to be clear about this.
But it was the person that he stood, that he decided to follow
it
that up with.
It was R. Kelly and Triple X. Like, it wasn't the best two to stand with. You know what I mean?
You piggybacked this stance off of the wrong two niggas. Like, could we have waited for it to be like Travis Scott or something?
Like, Top Dog was looking at some Supreme Court shit. Like, we're not about to do that.
And
but yeah,
I
fully understand that. Like, it is I think people need to hear it's okay. You're going to have more than one feeling about it.
And we need
it's
to acknowledge
black and white.
And we need to acknowledge that there are people who are listening to us right now going, nah, y'all, that's not okay.
Yeah. Hell yeah. There will be somebody that'll be like, nah, cancel everything, everybody,
You know what I mean? Like, and
y'all aren't wrong.
I'm not gonna sit here and disagree with you at all, because everybody, like I said, everybody got their own personal stuff when it comes to this. You know, somebody who's been through this might, you know, is gonna look at this totally different. And I'm gonna look at it, you know, but I can sit here and say, like, I remember when it came to R. Kelly, I was like, I just don't want to hear your voice, because that's all I think about. And I was like, I definitely can't listen to any of your, like 12 Play or Bump, you know, all that stuff, because I'm like, all I think about, you made a song about sex and all the people you have sex with.
Remind me of girls.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
oh, my God. I remember when that shit came out in school.
But like, all of us, like, when you just said you remind me of a Jeep, and the first thing that popped in my head was being in the car with friends singing that song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you gotta let people have those attachments. I can have those attachments and still say this nigga was trash. Yeah. And still be like, I'm not going
right,
to
right.
And that's how, be like, that's how I'm not buying too. A vinyl.
This, at least, you know, my favorite rapper. Like,
all right, hold on. One person at a time.
Throw away, because you, just like what you said, you don't have that, you know, that memory towards it. And I know, like, for me, that's like memories and feelings and situations with music. That's how I even remember like years and dates when things come out, because you know, I remember those things with it, you know? So, yeah, some things can be easily like thrown out, like, yeah, like Bump and Grind. Nah, I don't have to hear that because it's really wasn't like a big song, but yeah, like certain particular songs, that's going to be harder for me, especially if I have like a memory or something attached to it. And if you are one of those people that can just be like, fuck all the music, hey, more power to you. You know, nothing wrong with that. If it's a little bit harder for you, nothing's wrong with that either. But yeah, just as long as you understand, like, the person who made this music is glad bag trash, garbage. Like, just as long as you know that and not support him in his foolishness, you know, just like you said, in concerts and, you know, making think pieces about how the black man's been done wrong and how y'all guys are looking at the wrong things, you're worrying about R. Kelly, when in fact Donald Trump's not having tax returns and all that bullshit.
Oh my God.
Y'all niggas ain't been talking about none of that politics stuff beforehand. So I don't want to hear it now. So yeah, as long as you're not one of those dumb motherfuckers, then yeah, it's,
self-awareness, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, if you realize, again, like I said, like, two of my top five favorite rappers for sure were pieces of shit. And if I can,
we're talking Big Pun
and Notorious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Two honestly, big pieces of shit. Like, it is what it is. Like, unfortunately, as much as I love both of their art, I can also acknowledge that they were not good to their loved ones at all.
Not unless pistol whipping is love. No.
Well, right. Exactly.
And Notorious used to be, I mean, he said it vividly how he used to beat up on women. So.
Right. So, and I mean, honestly, like, my listens to their music has gone down recently. Because I do think about it sometimes. But then, like, I'll listen to a Miles Davis album without thinking about that Miles is also kind of shitty, just because he's playing the trumpet, so I don't think, this is Miles Davis, the person.
It's hard with, there's so much early 90s hip-hop that I can't listen to right now, because it'd be like, choke that bitch, and I stepped on it. I'm like, goddamn, like, this one, this dude, that's a little kid. like, shit. Like, so, you know, I mean, like, it's not, there's no nuance. They are saying it directly. You know what I mean? You know how much I love Dead Wrong by Biggie and Eminem? I know all the words.
Like, this is too much. I can't.
I know all the words, right? And I remember when I came on and I was like, yo, and I had all the jokes. I knew all the words.
Dog, I remember the day I heard that song the first time when I was in Tech 2000 class at Smithfield High School. My cousin George had it on his Walkman. He's like, yo, listen to this Eminem Biggie shit. And I was like, oh, snap.
Dog, like, and then so I remember a couple years, like, after I graduated college, that song came back on and I heard the beat. I was like, oh, shit, Dead Wrong. And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? Oh, shit. Like, it's like I heard it for the first, like, now I knew back then. But back then, Twan wasn't that good of a person. Like, nope. I've improved now.
Well, I mean, just think DMX, all the Quaveri very horrible things that he said. And you know, I thought that nigga, I thought DMX was the best shit ever. Then you listen, you be like, wow, my nigga, like, really? Wilding
out of his fucking cracked out mind. Like, that nigga, it's a lot of niggas that was wilding. Like, Big L got some crazy punchlines. Some of those are really fucked up.
This shit has not aged well either. I mean, the stuff that has aged well is incredible still. Big L is one of the greatest like punchline lyricists of all time. But also, he said some real flagrant shit. Yeah.
Like majority of Eminem shit. Like, I could go back and listen to Stan. But I remember listening to like Kim and thinking it was funny and hilarious.
I was like, nope, too much. I skipped that every time. I was like,
but I feel that way even when watching movies and shit, dog. Like Step Brothers is one of my favorite. Step Brothers in like top three favorite films made just for me.
Classic.
Like for sure. It is amazing. And there's a line in there where the brother, when he hugs Brennan, he steps back and he says, "Yeah, you would like that, you fucking." And he says the F word. Like, and I'm like I heard, like I know this movie line by line. And when it was edited on TV, I was like, damn, that is not what he said. He said the F word. And it was you hear it in lyrics. And like, we used to talk about Tyler, the Creator, saying it like, oh, we get why he's saying it. And now I'm like, no, it was unnecessary.
I can look
another
back.
Another one then. Said some questionable ass stuff.
Yep.
Not even just the F word, but like, yeah, like she is like one of my all time favorite Tyler Creator songs.
And that shit is
like fucking dead corpses and nigga. Like
awful wolf, you know, I fucking hate you. Right. So I'm like, I always like that song because it just is always eerie and creepy. And I knew he was coming, like the person that he was writing for, like he was writing about was supposed to be disturbed. Cause even at the end of the song, they were like, what the fuck is wrong with that dude? You know what I mean? But I'm like, this is some stalker shit. I work with little girls now. And I can't have like when a dude look, if a dude comes to you like this, you gotta say, no, you need to run. Come tell me, tell a cop. Like that's what I'm you know what I mean? Like, so
Transvania. Oh my god, he's a vampire and
We all do this with music. Where
Tyler gave you growth. Like that's the word of the day. That is the word of the day. Kelly said it in Insecure. That is growth. Like that's what it's supposed to be. Like it's supposed to be where when you're younger,
I'm about to say
you're not understanding fully, or you know, or even if you might kinda, and you're like, but like at a certain point, you need to get it. Like
growth can still come. Like people be like, "Grow, you done growing at like 21." No, you can still grow after. You can still come and learn. 26. Yeah, you can learn a lot of new stuff after that. And like you know, just talk about Tyler. I think he came to terms with some stuff within himself.
Absolutely.
And he seems like he's in a much more happier place now. And it's in his music, and it's great. Great to see him do that. Mm-hmm. But like we all have some questionable stuff in there, and we all draw lines at different places, and our lines get erased and move back or forward depending on how we age and what happens. So that same stuff that we used to sit there and rap word for word, we'd be like, "Nah, I can't do that now." You know what I mean? Or we admit words.
Fucking songs on acid rap I gotta skip now because this nigga Chance drops the F-bomb in the first couplet of the goddamn.
I remember hearing that when acid rap first came out and it surprised me because it really didn't fit the vibe of anything that he had done. I remember blanking out the F-word in rededication, like back Black Star Most Def and Jim.
Damn, I don't even remember that.
Yeah, when he comes out in rededication, because one of my favorite Mos Def junks, you know, when redefinition. When they did definition, you know, and then they flipped the beat flip. Like, I love that whole verse, but he says it in there.
Damn.
Cats be claiming they're hard, but mad. So I'm going through them like flood waters through sandbags. Like, I still know the line, you know what I mean? Like, so like, but like we all had that stuff. So, you know what I mean? Like everybody's going to draw a different line and it's just different when it comes
with music, because there is this part to you. But like, long as you know what your line, I feel like if you know what your line is and you can sit there and you feel comfortable with it, I'm not one to sit there and tell you, you need to change all this, you need to do all that stuff.
If your line is R. Kelly didn't do it, then I think you should change.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking when it comes to this, like the list of the music part. You know what I mean? Because just like I can look at you and be like, yeah, you wrong. Somebody can look at me and be like, well, Twan, you still listen to this person.
You wrong too. That pot calling the kettle.
Yeah. And I'm going to have to look at them and be like, you right. Like, to your standards, I am.
Also, you and don't have to explain that all the time. Like, if you like some shit because you like that shit. And like Mike said, you ain't out here supporting R. Kelly and defending him and shit, because that just makes you a fucking savage and a terrible human being. Like,
it's one thing to listen to the music. It's another to be like, yeah, the nigga didn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that's the but most important.
You don't always have to explain your reasoning for why you continue to listen to some shit. If somebody like, you was out here talking all that shit about R. Kelly, but I see Ready to Die sitting right there on your fucking, you know, record player. Okay. Nobody perfect. Like,
you just do that all day. Like, so you could argue with somebody all day, and you can nitpick about, well, this person, that person, like, and then by the time we go through all our media, we ain't got shit no more. Because we ain't got nothing. You know what I mean? Because there's a trash person everywhere. So,
nigga, but I think Kidz Bop biggest singing songs by trash people. You got to thought your Kidz Bops now. You can't even listen to them.
Well, the Kidz Bop songs are written by the trash people. It's just sung by kids. Yeah, so you might as well.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. You got to throw it right. That's the 6 degrees of R. Kelly. 6 degrees of trash. Like, you got to throw out your Kidz Bops.
Like, the biggest thing we should take from watching this is, don't let this happen again. Mm-hmm. Right. Don't, because we saw like the signs. We saw all that stuff, and we knew who this dude was in 2002.
He held up signs himself. I was like walking around holding the signs up, like looking at me.
Yeah, like, so we knew this back in 2002. And you know, when I look at that little kid and she's like 14, the age that R. Kelly was taking some of these motherfuckers. You know what I mean? And when she looked at me today and she said, why he ain't already in jail? I ain't had no answer. Like, and that's a sad thing. Like, why isn't he? So let's make sure we ain't sitting here supporting. Like, if you want to support one of these motherfuckers, tell them to go get some help. Tell them to go work on something. Become a better person. That's what you want. You want to sit here and be like, well, like, you know, I mean, I feel Tekashi. He needs to do this. And tell that nigga to get a dye out of his hair, get off of Instagram, and get his life right. You know what I mean? You know? J. Cole over here praying for people on things like, are you telling them, like, are you holding them accountable for their stuff and be like, stop doing this? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's what we had to do now. When we see people doing stuff, we need to be like, nah, when we see something, we need to believe it. Like, when the outrage is there, we need to be like, all right, yeah, we really need to do this. You know, we really need to, like, we're not going to mess with this anymore, because, you know, now we look at, there's a lot of guys out here that's still doing questionable shit. I've seen so many things of, and it's sad, of so many women who are defending it, but so many women who are talking about how they dated older men.
Oh,
when they were younger. And then it just makes me feel like, I'm like, you don't even know what happened to you.
And I get so upset when I see both men and women talk about how the fast, quote unquote, these fast girls, and putting it in connotation like, oh, since they were quote unquote fast, that it's their fault.
Yeah, you can't be fast at 14.
And I was like, at the end, they're children. I don't care. Like, they're children. Like, so you're literally just telling me that if some underage man, girl, or boy, that, you know, if a girl's in front of your guy and a girl looks like she's, you know, 18, 19, 20, whatever. She looks of legal age, but you know that bitch is not. You still gonna have sex with her.
Yeah.
And be unbothered by it.
The onus is not on the child.
Yeah. I don't care if that girl got booty butt naked in front of you. As the adult, you need to make the decision of not doing anything. That is all on the adult. You cannot blame anything on that child. That is a child.
It is.
And, you know, and then you got these old dirt bags talking about, oh, you know, they're being fast and this, this, and that. And I'm like, wow.
No childhood really? Like that. Ain't that what old boy on Tom Joyner Munch said? Don't know. Jay Anthony, don't know child mood like that when he looked at the sex tape, when he was watching that pedophilic shit. Like, and it was a statement. It was a statement that I had made earlier today on Twitter. I was like, yo, we live in a society where teenagers and children are expected to know not to have sex with adults before adults are expected to know not to have sex with teenagers and children.
It's the most backwards thing because you learn it and then you forget it when you become an adult. That's basically what happens.
That's what their argument is, right? She was girls out here. I saw one girl say, I knew at 14 I wasn't supposed to be out here fucking. That's cool. Did the nigga that was 24 know he wasn't supposed to be trying to fuck you?
Yeah.
It's the same terminology that fast ass, like not even fast. That's a loose term that we use, fast and promiscuous, right? But that shit really originates from people saying, I really wish I had a time machine to meet the fucking doctor or whoever it was that said girls mature faster than boys. Because I feel like that statement was taken so far out of fucking context. And we run with it now. Like, people think when they say that girls, and I remember we used to hear that all through high school and middle school, girls mature faster than boys. And there was always a reason for why you would see, like, that's why she dating, that's why she 14, she dating an 18-year-old, that's why she's 16, she dating a 20-year-old. But that's not what that means. That shit just means, like, biologically, girls get their periods early and develop breasts and ass before boys' balls drops. Like,
that's not to say guys get it at 13, girls get it at 12. So, yes, mature faster.
They mature faster than boys.
There was no huge gap.
There's no fucking, all of a sudden girls hit puberty. And not only do they grow breasts, but they start to understand quadratic equations. Like, that's not what happens, dog. Like,
they can now balance a checkbook and everything. Right. You know what I mean?
You know, she 14 with two banking accounts. Like, that's not how that shit works. But that's how people say it. People say that shit, like, you know, girls mature faster than boys. When they see boys acting like knuckleheads and they see girls chilling, they're like, see? Girls mature faster than boys.
And that's the problem with society, because then they look at boys and nobody looks at, we got to teach the boys.
They don't want to hold them responsible.
All the stuff that's up there is, we need to teach the girls. We need to teach the girls how to protect themselves. We need to teach the girls how to do this. We need to teach the girls how to not wear this. We need to teach the girls how to not walk down the street. We need to teach the girls how to go out in groups and stuff like that, instead of teaching fucking boys how to act like gentlemen and act like you got some common human decency. And I appreciate my father for teaching me that. Mm-hmm. For looking at me and be like, this is how you supposed to act. You do not do this. My dad told me what that you put your hand on a girl. And you ain't got to worry about their daddy because you're gonna worry about me. You know what I mean? Like, it started then.
Right.
Actually, we need to be teaching that, like, you don't do this. My dad told me, when you go out on a date, this is how you handle yourself. You open up doors, you pull out chairs, you sit here and you do all this stuff. Like that's what I was taught. And there are men out there. Because I'm not gonna say they ain't. You know, there's men out there that are teaching this stuff like that. But this needs to be the common thing. There needs to be not like what are the girls need to do. We need to teach these young men how to be gentlemen. And then if a guy come to you, you got a daughter and a guy come to your house, look that dude in the face. Like, this is how I expect you to behave. You know what I mean? Like, we need to all hold people to that standard and hold these little boys to that standard so they know. Because every time you say that and you look at the girl and you're like, don't do that or don't do that. Like, you're subconsciously telling the boy it's fine. What he's doing is okay.
Mm-hmm.
What he's doing is fine. Because you're not telling him to stop. So, like, if the girl has to have self-control and not be fast, so does the boy.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely agree with that.
All these people up there blaming, like, you got to think about it, man. Like, at the time, like, when I went back and look at some of these stills from the trial, and I remember, like, you know, when the trial first started, I'm probably 17, something like that. You know what I mean? So, you know, wasn't really a time where you were really following it. You know what I mean? Like I will follow stuff now. But, like, seeing some of them stills and, like, seeing some of them videos or seeing some of them people and the signs they had and the excuses they were making, all knowing that this was a little girl.
Men, like, and women. Like, it's
yeah.
That's
and that man don't give a fuck about y'all. Like that's the part that makes me even crazy.
The part that I could have a little bit more understanding if there wasn't a tape that everybody in that city saw. You know what I mean? Like that tape was at the local flea market in them cities. Everybody's, you know, it one thing, like, oh, this is allegations. We didn't see nothing there like that. I mean, I still probably, I'm not going to be out there with a sign with you unless I was there with you when they said you did it. And I know you didn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the only time. There's only a few people, like, I'm a ride for y'all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, nah, they wouldn't do something. My best believe they sent me a video and it looked like you. I'm like, nigga.
Damn,
nigga. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what I
mean? Ride don't go that far. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Like, yeah, give me something to work with.
Seeing that and seeing so many people just jumping out, man, it makes me think about all these women that have to go through this stuff and how none of them are believed and how you can be raped and walk into a police station and talk about you raped and they're going to treat you like shit and they're not going to believe you or they're going to ask you what you did.
Yeah, what did you do to provoke it?
Parents not believing their own children. Parents.
Brandon has me warped on that.
Like, you know, parents choosing new boyfriends over their daughters. You know what I mean? Like, now me working with kids this age and having these little, like, I just try to be a role model to show them this is how a man is supposed to treat you. This is how a man is supposed to act around you. That's my age. Which means he should not be hugging up on you.
Mm-hmm.
He should not be asking you for hugs every 5 seconds. You know what I mean?
Pressuring you to do
stuff. He shouldn't be hanging over you, you know, and all this stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm aware of everything I do. I'm aware if I'm like helping him with a problem. Am I standing over them? How am I lingering over them? You know, am I sitting beside them? Am I coming down to that level? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like to keep it light and we joke and play, but there's always a line that we don't cross because I'm going to keep the relationship in these borders.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm always aware of that. Always aware of where I am. Always aware I'm not alone in a certain thing. Or if I am, because, you know, sometimes I got to talk to stuff about people about private stuff, you know what I mean? But if I'm, there's always a open door. So somebody can walk in and you ain't going to be like seeing me in no compromised position or something like that. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? If I'm by myself, there's a table between us. Just because just how, you know what I mean? Like, just these are things that I think about because I don't want that person to feel uncomfortable. But I also want to make sure that nobody outside has a shadow of a doubt of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like by you showing that as an adult, I feel like they can look at it and be like, okay, another adult should treat me the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And if another adult is doing something differently, this is wrong. You know what I mean? Right. Like, this ain't right.
Right.
Why is he doing all this stuff? You know what I mean? I only like now and then when I see like a little niece and nephew, you go to certain family events and they'll be like, come on, give so-and-so a hug. Like, mm-hmm. If I had children, like, no, you ain't got, do you want to? Your choice. Because right. I need you to understand as a boy, I need you to understand as a boy and a girl that you have ownership over your body.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to, you don't have to. I'm not going to be like, go on, give him a hug. Like, no, I'm not teaching you that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Then it's up to that adult. Don't sit here and be all hurt. I done had kids, like, I look at the kid, hey, man, can I get a hug? The kid look at me, all right, can I get a dap? Can I get a high five? And sometimes they give you, cool, how you know what I mean? Like, that's what we're doing. Like, we need to change, and it's the little thing. We need to change how we approach stuff, and how we approach kids so they can learn, and then maybe we won't, you know, they can navigate some of these situations there. But like somebody like R. Kelly, somebody that's a predator, somebody like that, they're going for the people who don't have that type of training and home bringing, you know, upbringing. They're going for people who have been through rough circumstances because, I mean, we can all say R. Kelly is trash, but when you look back at his life, it's sad to say that it's not surprising that he ended up here. With all this shit that happened to him. You know what I mean?
Just failure of adults all around.
Yeah. And we got to break cycles. Mm-hmm. We can't have this stuff keep happening. We can't laugh when somebody does that in our family. We can't sit there and look at certain people and be like, oh, yeah, oh, that's okay. And stuff. They're like, no, you need to stop. You can't do this. This is not allowed. This is a hard line in the sand type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, this, it ain't going, you ain't going past this, because all this hurt, because one person does something, the next person does something, all this hurt just multiplies till you get a thing where you get somebody who's hurting so many people in so many ways. And the real sad thing about, like, somebody like R. Kelly is, like, when you don't get him on that trial, what all he's done now is perfected what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's perfected how to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why he got this. That's what he's done. Before, he was, like, flaunting it. You know what I mean? But now he's like, no, I got to keep that. You know, they almost got me. Mm-hmm. I got to keep this shit secret now. Now you got all this stuff with all these women just under his spell.
All ages. That was another crazy thing. All ages. Not, you know... And I think that was the thing, too. Like, it wasn't even, you know, they talked about all the underage or the barely legal, you know, women and girls that he abused and kidnapped. But then it's like you had two separate stories of grown-ass women. Like, one was, like, in her 30s, who had a job, like, a good job at the radio station in Dallas. And, like, she ended up, you know, being with him and being in that house. And then you had the other girl. I think she actually lived in Atlanta, but she was late 30s, you know, all that stuff. And same thing. Like, and she was I remember that girl was, like, a super fan, she said, where, you know, she was one of the women that we just talked about, where she, you know, everything that people were saying about him, she wouldn't believe it. She would defend him, you know, to the death pretty much. And look what ended up happening to her. She got sucked in. And then it's like, you're grown. Like, you're so grown. And you're in this house with teenagers and barely legal women that he's having you do all kinds of stuff, you know, with him and to them. And apparently, like, you know, one of the things that he would blackmail them with is that he would tape these, you know, girls and stuff doing things to each other, especially the ones that were legal age, doing stuff to the ones that were minors. And he would tape it and pretty much, like, try to blackmail them, say, you know, you go out, even though it's like, well, you're taping it and technically this is child porn. Like, but it's kind of like, if I go down, you go down too. Like, just the layers. But he knew how to pick them. That's just how much manipulation he knew what to do. Like, he could pick out the ones that, you know, even though they might come from a two-parent household, but, you know, they might not have their self-esteem, or they might just be that infatuated with him. He kind of knew, like, okay, I can see how far I can go with her. And she's probably willing to do it because of X, Y, and Z versus another person. That's what I did. It's really, like, mind-boggling with him, the levels, the stuff that he's done for the years that he's done. Hopefully, you know, and that's the thing, like, is there going to be a point where he's going to be arrested? He's going to be charged? Or do you think this is just going to be kind of like one of those things that could always be talked about, but nothing will be done as far as for him going to jail or him getting charged?
I don't know.
I mean, I didn't think they're Bill Cosby, but they did. So hopefully.
True.
Yeah. I mean, like, they had this stuff, you know, back then, but, you know, a jury said no.
I know, but I'm hoping the media will, like, do more than it did at the time.
Yeah, but I mean that now, like now you just got to find evidence. You know what I mean? Like,
that, and that's double jeopardy rule, man, because they got enough fucking evidence the last time. Just
yeah, I mean they got evidence the last time, but so much of it was them trying to prove. That's why I would love for the other dude to really go in depth on the trial. Like I think that's what he's planning on doing, like going real in depth on the trial, because you know it seemed like, I mean we know like they just threw away what the other women were talking about. Like nope, no, you did that. You know what I mean? And then they thought, well, hey, if the mother's not saying that it's the person on the tape, and the other person not saying it's the person on the tape, then you know, why are we even worried about that? And I think the point of the whole situation was, we're not worried if the person says that's not them or that's not dad on the tape. You can look on his tape and see it's him and see that that's an underage person. that's where we at. You know what I mean? That's what the video is, that, you know. So I would just love to see more on what the actual trial, what went on, you know, yeah. what the jury said, they could find some juror stuff for that one little trash juror they found who was talking about he didn't believe none of the women. But I mean, it's surprising, but it kind of shouldn't be, because we, you know, you see this shit happen in sexual assault cases all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got the evidence, they got the person, the woman sitting there telling this is what happened and all that stuff, and they'd be like, well, no, I don't think so. All right. Maybe she was doing this. Maybe she asked for it, and then they get stupid with it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
we can hope. I mean, I'm gonna keep hope alive. Like,
yes, like he has to slip up at some point, right?
I mean, he already did, but he didn't get caught. So, would he slip up again?
We hope. Look. If one thing we know from that Torrey question.
That nigga stupid.
He ain't that bright.
He can write a mean song, but he dumb as shit.
Boy. Man, look. That's still the greatest thing. I love Tori. It was like, I'll try and not let him know that he messed up. I was like, Tori, I'm going to need you to go back and look at that tape. Because it showed all on your face, nigga. Your whole face showed that he messed up.
And he said he had to kind of keep it going, because he said he didn't want, even though he said he didn't want R. Kelly to know that he fucked up.
The only, like, I give the man props for just not looking at him and be like, nigga, what the fuck? Like, just not saying that, because that's what he wanted to say.
I would have said.
At that point, interview would have been over for me. I wouldn't have been able to handle it.
Nigga. And push the mic stand over.
I would have been like, Lord, they let you go. I can't believe they let you go. You, goddamn, you the Pied Piper of juries too, nigga. How the fuck did they let you go?
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's what it was. Like, you just got out of court. That means you just work with your lawyers to practice this. you with the practice of simple no.
We got to do better with our family members and shit too, because those scenes where they showed. I mean, if you saw Boondocks first, you would think that they pulled scenes, actual footage from that documentary out of the Boondocks and put it in real life, when it was the reverse. Like, those people lined up on the barricades and supporting him at that fucking trial where he is recruiting new girls to violate while on trial for violating girls. That shit blew my mind. I'm like, that's how deep we are in the culture. That is so ridiculous how deep we are in rape culture. Like, we're blaming victims. And he is actively showing us that he not only did this shit, but does this shit. He's doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we got to hold ourselves accountable for having better fucking standards at this point. We have to, like, if your cousin or your brother, your sister say some shit out of place that just ain't right, yo, correct that shit, or at least try to correct them.
I'm turning into the feds that work with these young motherfuckers, man.
Because it's bananas.
I'm quick to be like, hey, nope. This is all I'll be like, nope. And they're like, what, but nope. Nope.
And you in, Mike, you in an industry where niggas just be getting away with all types of nopes.
I know that.
So, yeah. I feel, I don't never want to like interview some of these niggas, but I can't imagine having to be around there and like setting up stages and stuff. You might catch up. I don't
really deal with the artists like that. I'm just talking about like the guys in the tech crew and like my peers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but even still, like the industry, I mean, for starters, this industry is extremely sexist. And I've heard the shit people have said about like bringing women out on tour, which is why I've only in my entire life ever met two female front of house engineers. And only like four or five monitor engineers out of the hundreds of fucking people mixing shows I've seen in my life. So, like, if I'm asked, you know, like who I want to work on a project with, if there are any like women in the shop, I'm like, cool. Like, I'll give them a chance to do shit because a lot of times people just bypass them for no fucking reason. And I know that I can at least try to help, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't fix it all by myself, but if I can do something, then I can do something.
That's so good that you at least, you know, acknowledge them. That's better than nothing.
Because one of my friends I know was getting like blackballed, as it were, just because she's female. And I'm like, yo, she's smarter than a whole lot of these motherfuckers y'all got on the road right now. So, you know, like, this was a couple of years ago. Like, I got a gig and they're like, who do you want to go with you? And I was like, her. And they were like, really? And I was like, yeah. And then she came out there with me and fucking killed it. And then they were like, how did it go? And I was like, she fucking killed it. She's a beast. And then she got on a tour like immediately after that. And she's been doing her thing, you know, being a model professional since then. It's not even because of me. Like, I didn't really do anything about it. She's just on point. But like being able to use what little influence I do have and the little bit of male privilege that I have for good, either whether it's that or like checking my coworkers on saying problematic shit. Somebody be like, dude, that's fucking gay or something like that. And at work, and I'm like, nah, we not on that. And they're like, what? And I'm like, you know what? And then I'll make them spell it out. I'm like, yeah, we don't do that shit. And they're like, really? And I've, yeah, you know, really? Backed several people down from that. And none of them do it around me anymore at all. I don't know if they still do around other people, but I don't play that shit.
You gotta make it annoying. You got it, and it's that's like
what I'm saying. Make it an inconvenience for you at the least.
That's what, and we gotta keep doing that. I think part of the problem with people not calling people out, and I felt this way before, is you get tired of being an inconvenience sometimes. Like for some shit, I don't give a fuck. Like I feel like Superman when I'm being an inconvenience. At that point, I'm throwing a cape on. I'm inconveniencing around the globe, Lois. But for other shit, I just feel like I'm constantly having to debate niggas on shit that is just so fucking stupid. That being an inconvenience ends up just making me look like an asshole or just look dumb, even though that motherfucker is absolutely wrong. And it gets hard sometimes. Like, I understand y'all, it does, but for the bigger shit, for the important shit, like, be that fucking inconvenience to save your peoples. Cause if they ain't gonna save themselves, you can save some of the motherfuckers, and the other ones, you just had to let them go. Like, just let them go. But yeah, being an inconvenience really is that new hero shit. Like, 40 is the new 20, inconvenience is the new hero for these motherfuckers that want to, you know, be homophobic and transphobic and misogynistic and rapey, fucking creepy, racist, xenophobic. There's just so many terms to describe these ill-requited fucking savage ass motherfuckers out here. And be they inconvenience, dog. Just be they inconvenience.
True. Oh my gosh.
I think we're good. So yeah, but I think we're good now. That's 2 hours of just be a better person, please. 2 whole ass hours.
And even when Twan even talked about how parents need to believe their children, and thanks to you, Brandon, I've been listening. I'm done. I'm on the finale with the Believe podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh. Oh, yes.
He had
like,
500 victims.
On there saying, like, mamas and daddies, child telling you they're being abused. Like, they know at 8 years old, this is not what, this is not right. His hand is not supposed to be going in between my butt cheeks. And they're just too, they, like, one of the mothers literally just said, like, she just, she took it and she put it aside in her mind, like, put it away while her child was being abused. I was like, oh my God, y'all, like, really?
It, the description, though, like, they, and it, I give that podcast full credit for not censoring.
Me what too.
The abuse was, because I, sometimes I feel like when news reports and shows and movies talk about sexual abuse, like, you definitely have movies that I think are like torture porn, rapey shit, and the way they so rape is just it's like, I don't even know what to, I don't want to say like it's not believable because it's terrible in some of them, but they're like, they wrote an acting scene, right? They want to show it and shoot it a particular way. And rape is just, is a terrible fucking awful thing for anybody to have to witness that has a fucking conscience whatsoever and could do something about it. When they talked about in this podcast, the way he was molesting these girls, and they went there, like they described it. He penetrated mm-hmm. them with his finger at this point. He used his thumb to do this. He caressed around the outside of these girls' vaginas and made it seem like he was like, you know, doing some type of massage to a muscle. That's the type of, that's the way that Larry Nassar was getting away with violating girls, with violating patients, you know, appointment after appointment after fucking appointment. Like, at the end of the day, this man had been doing this since probably like the early 90s, late 80s, and did not get caught. Finally, not get caught, because he was caught a few times. Did not actually go to trial for it until 2016. That's bananas. And this was in a community of his own people. These were friends' kids. They were family's kids, like the gymnast, the institution.
I mean, he had a school protect him once.
A whole fucking school, dog. They said at the end of it, he had
all the people got fired.
They said at the end of it, he had 500 victims. Like they're approximating that he had 500 victims. But MSU, but at MSU alone, he had like 322 victims. That they had this, that MSU had to settle with in court for $500 million. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And they said that, didn't they? They found like all like the reports and all that stuff that people were saying about him. They found it like in a drawer somewhere.
They found it like in an abandoned, like a basement room in the school where they had just filed all that shit and literally filed it there to rot. He had 37,000 images of child pornography on his computer, and when they raided the crib.
One girl that he, I think she was getting, you know, quote unquote, massaged by him, like the longest. And it, she said it was hard to believe, I guess, because she knew him, you know, the longest. And I think the lawyer said that she was, you know, I guess, molested the most out of all of them.
Yep.
And I think it was over 800 times.
Yep. Family friend. Like that. That's how,
sick.
And it's like when people say, oh, if this had been a white girl, yeah. And it also, that speaks to the racism of the culture too, because it ain't like that. It's not like girls are not being abused in white culture and by white people, you know, white girls are being abused by white people the same way that R. Kelly was abusing these black girls, right? They kept it within the race and it happened just as bad, if not worse. It's when that line crosses, all of a sudden now at people are acting like, oh, it's so terrible and we need to put this nigga away. But it was so many people fighting for Larry Nassar. It was so many people defending him and not believing these girls.
This dude is a gymnastics coach, right?
He was a, I no, mean, he was physician. A
doctor.
He was a doctor.
Like
a,
yeah.
Okay. You're right. And I don't mean to like, but he's a doctor, just a doctor. He's not like
God,
the world's greatest doctor. He's not, you know, the doctor who invented open heart surgery. He's just a doctor at a school. Why go through the effort of protecting this motherfucker and not just throw him to the wolves where he needs to be in the first place as soon as you find out?
Because you have family members who were violated by them and parents felt responsible for that shit. And you don't want
to reason to throw him away.
But parents don't want to believe. Like when you listen to parents talk about it, and
they thought he was a god.
He was like the fixer. He fixed these girls. And they, and like parents, Mike, you got to understand, he was abusing girls while parents were in the room.
The room.
So they didn't believe it. Like the parents were like, I was sitting right there.
Why? Like he having full-fledged conversations with the father. He was like,
he was manipulating everyone.
He would get in between them And then he would literally be fingering and doing God knows what else to the daughter and having a long conversation with the father. Father don't even know. And then this is even the point of how sick he was. Like he's not even using gloves.
Hold on.
Gloves.
What are you saying, Mike?
They would have fired him.
You said what do you say?
If he was just smoking weed, they would have fired him.
Of course.
Are you talking about school? Are you talking about school?
Yes.
Depending on how much don't want money. Scandal. Colleges don't want scandal.
Yeah.
For nothing.
And he was making a lot of money.
They do not want scandal. That's why so much stuff is sweeped under the rug in colleges, especially in college sports. There's a lot of boosters, there's a lot of money you get from that, and a lot of people in scandal keeps people from coming inside your doors and keeps the boosters from getting money. So they would try to bury something first. That's why you see all these there's always scandals going on in college of people hiding stuff.
It's not just that though either. The people above him, like I don't know if it was the dean or the president or whatever, also had been sexually abusing or had like touched girls on that campus without their permission and whatnot. Like, Deidre, did you get to the epilogue yet?
No.
Wait till you get to the epilogue and old girl is talking to the person that's in charge there now, because the other dean or president that was there resigned during the Larry Nassar shit. There are complaints against the person that's in charge or whatever now, like about abusing and touching girls without their permission, like slapping them on the ass and shit like that. So it wasn't just him. And also when they finally went after Larry Nassar because of an article, it was actually about Jim, the actual coaches. They were saying that the coaches were sexually abusing these girls. So it's like they got one person, right? They got probably the most deviant of all of them, but there are still people that they got to clean house with. Like they got to get some of them coaches out of here because they doing the same shit. But then again, if you look at gymnastics in general, the whole presentation of it to me has always been creepy. It's always like that ice skating, stuff like that has always been creepy to me. Cause I'm like, why is the presentation of girls, of younger girls doing, like showing immaculate abilities? Why does it need to look like this? And it's because some dude in charge decided that it needed to look like that. That shit always creeps me out. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I want to see them do their splits and they flips and shit. And I'm like, yo, they are fucking amazing. I can't believe a person can do that. But then I'm also like, but do they have to? Like, I understand if the outfits are for this, and I understand if the makeup and stuff is for this. But sometimes I just feel like the judges and the dudes, like, that shit is creepy. And then, what was it, the I, Tonya joint, where the guys were like, you're just not this presentable, or you don't look like this. I just feel like way too often, men have ingrained themselves so deep into a culture with their fucking misogyny and their chauvinism and their sexism. It makes me hard to be able to look at what some of these young ladies can achieve, because there's that creepy ref in the corner just like, or you find out about Larry Nassar and you're like, fuck, man.
Who's stuttering when the detective's asking him, why do you have you're having literally an erection in front of the child and in front of the mother.
He did the whole R. Kelly shit too. When Torrey asked, he might as well have been asked that question by Torrey.
Yes. Cause they were all like, the stuttering.
They were like, are you, why would you, well, you know, sometimes I don't know why I have an erection while I'm, you know, massaging a young girl with no gloves on with a towel draped over her privates. And it's like, bruh, is that your final answer? Erections just happen. Sir.
Just happen. Yeah. I mean, he stuttered the fuck out of that. And, you know, and before he tried to say, well, you know, it's not like I pulled it out. And she's like, no, that has nothing to do. I didn't say about you pulling it out. Said there were reports that you had a full erection in your pants. Like it was visible. He stuttered the fuck out of that. That should have just been no, never happened in a discussion.
That's it. He turned into a whole ass bitch too. That fucking stuttering and shit. He couldn't use his PowerPoints and stuff no more to explain himself. You ain't got a PowerPoint for that erection, do you, sir?
No, sure don't. Sure don't. He was disgusting.
Yeah, he gonna write in there too. Judge was like, I signed your death certificate, so they.
wonderful. I'm so happy. I'm like, that was, and like I said, I saw, like, I heard about like bits and pieces of him, and it's not until like one, when I think of one of the award shows, like all of the victims were talking about it, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh my gosh, and kind of kept up. But then, like I said, Brandon, when you told me about this podcast, that was just like crazy.
I'm telling you, man, in the same week that I'm watching this R. Kelly shit, I'm also listening to this Larry Nassar case. So I'm getting the white side of things and the black side of things. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, yo, the similarities in the way these two devil ass motherfuckers operated.
Yep.
Is so parallel.
Mm-hmm.
It's unnatural. It mm-hmm. just, wow. And we gotta do better. We gotta protect these girls.
Adults.
We gotta protect trash. These kids. Period. Like we gotta protect them, because it's motherfuckers out here. It's predators. It's full on predators out here hiding in plain fucking sight.
You know, you got parents that are more worried about being friends with the family than their daughter.
That blew my mind. When I heard what happened to her pops, I was like
trash. Oh God, he was so trash. Like you. It had to be when she was an adult, literally going to college, for her to say, then it hit you. Like, really? Because you didn't want to believe her before the first time. And then not only that, you make her relive to go back. Like, you make her hug this man. Y'all go back to the house. She's babysitting his kids. And, like, they're in the van. And he's, like, literally touching her thigh and, like, not... like literally just keeping it there just to show, like, you know, this, I still have this power over you. I can still do this, this, and that with his kids in the fucking bag. I was like, these parents, horrible.
Yeah. I think for anybody who is still curious, we're talking about Believed, the NPR podcast. It's about Larry Nassar.
It's very good.
Victim, interview the victims, the trial, stuff like that. Like, you should definitely check it out. And we were also talking about this R. Kelly docuseries. So yeah, I mean, I give praise to Dream Hampton and the team that put it together for, you know, putting this on television and making us look at ourselves and go, we need to fucking do better. Cause we really failed these girls this time. Like, we've been failing them for over 20 years. Is that,
yeah, bad?
It's time to stop that shit. So. Anything, anybody else? Because we need to get out of here. We're like 2 hours in.
No, I keep forgetting Dream Hampton Hill. And, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of hers, but just like when she said, like, this is, it really showed, like, yeah, a lot of stuff going on with him. But like you said, with ourselves, and it made it a now like a really serious topic of discussion. And hopefully this continues and it's not just something that is talked about for a couple more days and then kind of fades to the, you know, to the black. Like, it needs to be pushed. You know, these predators need to be, you know, called out, addressed, and they need to go to jail.
Yep.
Do something to take care of yourself. Hearing all this stuff and watching all this stuff, it's a lot. So, you know, just do something to take care of yourself. Don't let this be, get off of Facebook for a while, you know, put it away for a while. I remember I watched this series in parts. Like, I watched a couple jumps and I went away.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a couple, you know, and I went away. Like, you do something to take care of yourself, especially if you have a history of some of this stuff happening to you. But that's the other part we got to see. Like, you know, we bring a lot of attention to this stuff, which is needed to bring attention to. But we got to also understand that all this attention, there are people out here who are still struggling with things that have happened to them, things that happened to their past, and all this talking about it is not healthy for them mentally. So take a break, do something for yourself, get some self-care. And man, that's all I got to say.
All right. And I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. Thank you everybody for listening and checking out the podcast this week. We always appreciate y'all. Glad to be back in the new year. So, you know, we're going to be doing, we got some premium stuff coming. Like I said, for this month, there are, so let me get this out. One, If you like what you heard on the podcast and you want to hear more stuff from us, more ratchet stuff, there are 200 plus episodes of premium available. All you got to do is go to our website, wheresmy40acres.com, and click on the premium tab and then click sign up, and it'll take you to a beautifully redone page where you have two plans to choose from. One plan where you sign up for the whole year. That's a whole year of you having access to 200 plus episodes and all the new episodes we're going to be doing this year that we're planning out now, and you'll save 2 months. Or you can sign up for a monthly plan and all of it'll flow well. So what you'll be getting in January, for people who are already signed up for premium, Hoodables. There will be 4 parts released this month. Part 2 was released yesterday. Part 3 is going to be released next week. And I'm telling you right now, I had to read a whole nasty fuck scene in part 3. So I went there above and beyond to read that shit the way it should be read. That'll be available next week. Part 4 and 5 will be available the following weeks. We are doing a film review. Is that this Saturday we're recording?
Yeah.
And that's right. We're doing Neo Ned, the Nazi film with Gabrielle Union and Jeremy Renner. We're going to be, some point this week, I got to watch that so we can talk about it Saturday. Yeah, that'll be a, that would not be a live watch because I don't know if we could make it through that live together. We're going to watch it and talk about it.
Hopefully we'll be joined by my wife, Mary Helen, as well.
Yes, please.
For that one.
And, we need to plan some stuff for some disaster cap. But either way, those are the premium episodes that are going down this month. Regular podcast weekly episodes are going down. And to those two lucky bastards who were able to get that purchase to go through for that R. Kelly is trash shirt. Take a picture, please, when you get it so we can see that you got it. Because miracles do happen. What else? I think that's pretty much it. For now, I'm not sure what else we're going to. Oh, yeah. Deidre's Craft Beer Killer podcast is up. Did you send me some new episodes this week?
I sent you one the other day.
All right. So I got I got to edit those and get them out this month. So Craft Beer Killer episodes are coming this month as well. If you are not subscribed to Craft Beer Killer, you need to do that because Craft Beer Killer will no longer be on premium. It is its own podcast, separate podcast now. We're trying to make that shit flourish and blow up and make Deidre the queen of hops. So let's get that straight. And what else is there? I don't know if there's anything else, and I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, but we'll find something to discuss. Y'all know we will, because we a podcast. We'll keep it going. We got that. We're gonna keep that same energy all 2019. Trump is trash. Yes. R. Kelly is trash.
It's plenty fuckery going on. I'm sure we'll find stuff.
Trump is trash. R. Kelly is trash. Larry Nassar is trash. Your dirty ass uncle is trash. We'll holler at y'all.
Nicki Minaj is trash.
Oh yeah, the year ain't even good and she trash. Yes. We fresh in the year and she trash. She fresh trash.
And she segues away with all this R. Kelly stuff. Like, this is what you date.
She's a
fucking pedophile. Like,
fucking
petty, a rapist.
Petty dating ass. Also, hey, man, can y'all put some attention away from Cardi B and Offset's marriage? Like, they married, dog. Y'all have put up with way worse fucking shit with the nigga you dating than she done put up with the nigga she married and got a child with, and they both rich together. Seriously. Like, motherfuckers like, I can't believe she's taking him back. Nigga, they married. You took that nigga back. He cheated just last night. You took him back the next morning because he poured
and
you a
y'all
bowl of cereal.
And he don't claim y'all and he taking him back.
I hope y'all know you can't take a nigga back when you on the side. You know that, right? You ever tried to take some shit from the side? It don't work.
Oh, Lord.
Let Cardi flip.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, y'all, really?
The judgment is hilarious. But, make sure y'all go to TeePublic and cop the other gear that is available. Triple Aunt Andre is there. Triple Aunt Andre shirts are there. New Craft Beer Killer shirt, it looks dope. It's there. Some other stuff. So go ahead and hop on that. Keep that same energy. Hoodies are available. It's a cold, cold winter right now. We're looking to get some snow up here in Maryland, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, check it out. Go on Instagram and follow Dripping Wisdom. My aforementioned lovely wife and I have started an Instagram account where we post rap lyrics as like Instagram inspirational quotes.
They are amazing.
Yeah, so check that out. Dripping, DRIPPINGWISDOM, Dripping Wisdom. Follow us.
All right.
We make.
I think that's all of it. I'm going to go back and play my Switch now because I'm addicted. So, I'll holla at y'all. We'll holla at y'all next time. Peace.
Peace.
Nigga, every time I say peace, Cora hops up like I'm about to go open the door. Every fucking time.
Like, yes.
Oh. She hops up and she starts making circles and she's like, are we leaving?